For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Scott Morgan. The first thing to know is that South Carolina's waterways are teeming with aquatic plants. A lot of them are really pretty, too, with pretty names like water primrose and water hyacinth. The problem is these two plants and about a half dozen others are a fatal beauty to the state's native aquatic ecosystems. They're invasives. Water plants able to choke out aquatic biodiversity within a few short years.
It takes some time for it to get, especially in places where it's growing in fairly deep water, which may be part of the problem we're having trouble finding.
The one that gives wildlife biologists nightmares, though, is the one Ken Boyd and I are having trouble finding along the coastline of the J. Strom Thurmond Lake Project at the Georgia-South Carolina border. Boyd is the chief ranger for the Army Corps of Engineers at Thurmond Lake, which oversees and manages invasives here. It's early June when the two of us are trudging around at water's edge looking for a plant that won't really be visible at the surface until probably September. Left unchecked, it would by then cover the water in a carpet so thick and green, you'd swear you could just walk across it to the other side of the lake. It is hydrilla, and it's out there in the water in long strings moored to layers of silt deep below the surface. It can grow in almost no light, 15 or 20 feet down. It can survive being desiccated. It can spread when a piece breaks off and starts a whole new colony. And once it's established at the surface, it grows faster than almost every other living thing in the world.
144 square inches per stem per day in ideal growing conditions.
Brett Hardis is the manager of Duke Energy's aquatic plant management program all the way on the other end of the state at Lake Wylie. He calls hydrilla public enemy number one, not just because it's hard to contain, not because it squelches aquatic biodiversity, and not because it sticks to boats and propellers, which incidentally is how hydrilla spreads from lake to lake. It's because hydrilla harbors a nasty cyanobacteria, the Latin nomenclature of which translates to eagle killer.
The reason it means eagle killer is American coots and other waterfowl will feed on hydrilla. It causes somewhat of a lesion in the brain of coots, and they just kind of look drunk. They look kind of disoriented. So, great pickoff for an American bald eagle to come in who's working a group of coots or working a group of waterfowl, and all of a sudden there's one out to the side that's just kind of floundering around. That's an easy snack in the world of the eagle.
The bacteria triggers a disease called avian vacuolar myelinopathy, or AVM. It transfers from the unfortunate waterfowl that eats the contaminated hydrilla and into the eagles that feed on it. Eventually, it leads to the same brain lesions and the same painful 7-day death cycle. Back at Thurmond Lake, Ken Boyd and I tromp through the woods in search of an eagle nest. We find one way up in a tall pine on the Georgia side of the water. It's empty now, the family off to follow waterfowl as they migrate. Who knows how many eagles might make it back. As it starts to rain, I ask Boyd how big a toll hydrilla has taken on the bald eagles here.
Over the almost 20 years at Thurmond Lake, we've lost in the neighborhood of 100 bald eagles. Yeah. Which is a lot of bald eagles. Some years worse than others. I want to say our heaviest year ever, we lost 12 eagles in one year, I believe.
He chokes when he recalls what he's seen. It bothers him the same way it bothers Brett Hardis, for the humanistic reasons and for the symbolic one. After all, Hardis says, that's America's bird. I'm Scott Morgan for South Carolina Public Radio. This story is part of a series on aquatic invasive plants in South Carolina, available at southcarolinapublicradio.org.